Welcome to the Words of Life program. Today, Brother Julius Hovan will speak to us on the exciting topic, the presence of Christ. This is sure to be special for us to hear. Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who prayerfully support our work with prayers and contributions. It is our hope to share the good news of Jesus Christ wherever possible. We now praise our Lord with song.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Please pray with me. Thank you, Father, for providing for us the love and care as you bless this life and the promised life to come with Jesus. Please be with this radio broadcast in order to accomplish your will. Bless each listener to meet physical, personal, and spiritual needs. Those who are facing Satan's opposition, cherish your protection and encouragement. Please also be with works of faith that labor for you. And Lord, when Jesus comes to receive his church, please help us to be ready for him. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Brother Julius Hovan will now present teaching on the presence of Christ using John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Words of Life. We appreciate your tuning in, and we invite you to call others and ask them to join in as we share Words of Life about our wonderful Lord Jesus and God, our Creator. If you're a first-time listener, Stay tuned. We believe we'll be a blessing to you and an encouragement, and we hope we can be that throughout the rest of the days of your life. We welcome the opportunity to share good news. We all like good news, of course, and the good news we present here has to do with your internal destiny and your relationship to the God who loves you and who created you. I would like to use for our text today a couple of verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 40 to 42, as a beginning place for us. Hear these words as we learn about an early incident in the life of the Lord Jesus. We read these words, "One of the two that heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He finds first his own brother Simon, and he said unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' that is, the one who is the Christ, the Anointed One of God. And he brought him unto Jesus. And Jesus looked upon him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John, and you will be called Cephas,'" which is by interpretation, Peter. Here is one man's introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like for you to think today of what it means and what a difference it makes in life if we enjoy the presence of Christ in our daily experiences. Life can be very difficult. It can be harassing. It can be such great stress upon us, bring about depression and a wide variety of difficulties. But the presence of Christ, I would suggest to you as we think about it today, that there are at least four things that come into our lives when we enjoy the presence of Christ. And this man, who became known to us as the Apostle Peter, the spokesman on the day of Pentecost in that first gospel sermon, we find that he indeed, when he brought Christ into his life, what a difference it made. And so, for us today, one of those things that happens is we receive this thing called grace. Grace is the sovereign pleasure and the favor of God. God's favor upon us. The word, interestingly, is used 155 times in the New Testament alone. And the Apostle Paul, the great writer of the New Testament, uses the word 100 different times. And so it is a common word, and it was a common word then. But I believe in the Christian faith, the word is infused with quite a bit of different power and meaning that we think of it in our day today. Grace, this marvelous thing that is a gift of God, that comes from Him as a gift to us. We do not deserve it. We cannot completely even understand what it is, but we accept it as that which God has given to us. The Apostle Paul, writing in the great book of Romans, says in the 12th chapter, in verse 3, these words, "For I say, through the grace that was given to me to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith." Paul combines grace with that great gift of faith. Faith which brings to us the salvation that comes from God alone. Paul addresses that a little further in the same book of Romans, in chapter 15 and verse 14, where he says, "And I myself am persuaded of you, brethren, you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another." God brings us the gift of grace. With it comes the gift of our salvation. And then we are in a saved condition, and God gifts us. We are filled with wisdom and with knowledge, and we are able to be a comfort one to another. What good news that is indeed. Paul wrote to a young pastor, a young preacher by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. My friends, the good news is that when you have given your life to God, but like the Apostle Peter, you have invited Jesus to be Savior and Lord for you, that is now given a new life, an abundant life, the Lord Jesus says. And in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 32 says it this way, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, now look what happens, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them that are sanctified. Everyone who has allowed himself to be set apart by Jesus for the service of God has this gift of grace, and we are able to be built up, to be different people, to be new people, to be people that are of a great blessing to society. We are able to know and understand what God would have us to do, and we are able to be used of God in His great mercy. Grace. I hope that you can learn something about God's unmerited favor for you, for me, indeed for the whole world, for Jesus came to die for all the sins of the world. Grace. There is a second thing when the presence of Christ enters our heart, our lives, and our mind, and that is the matter of gratitude. The psalmist is one of many, many passages of Scripture that deal with the issue of gratitude or thanksgiving. A relationship of grace produces an ethic of gratitude. Listen to the first two verses of Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto Jehovah and to sing praises unto His name, O Most High, and to show forth His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness every night. It's a good thing to have a heart of gratitude. Guilt becomes a great motivator to make us want to change our lives to be better. We might feel ourselves under the judgment of God, and we want to come out from under that. And so what does God do? He provides grace. And this grace and the presence of Christ in our life makes it possible for this thankful spirit to come. And I'd like to call to your attention, notice, show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. The day begins, and we're asking God to be with us and to provide His loving kindness throughout the day. And what happens? When evening comes, and I lay my head upon my pillow for a night of rest, I'm able to thank God for His faithfulness during that very day. Oh, my friends, God, this God we worship is a faithful God. He is a God that hears. He is a God who cares. He is a God who is concerned about all that we do and all that we say and where we are. And we need to understand that great care and concern of our holy God. The Apostle Paul, again, writing to a young pastor named Timothy, says in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, Thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Here we are strengthened in that grace, this gift we have received when the presence of Christ comes to us. And Paul tells him in that first epistle that he wrote, You have appointed me to His service. We are now enabled, we are now made strong, we are now able to be those people who are in a position to serve God and to be a blessing to others because of our newness of life found in the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Peter addresses this a little bit as we think about this. And so we go from grace to gratitude, great thanksgiving for God's goodness to us.
But then what happens to such an individual? Oh, we love to watch our children grow. We love to watch them when they become able to crawl, and they become toddlers, and then they can run, and then they become young people and grow up to be strong men and women. What does that tell us? That's a sign of life, a true sign that they have the normal processes of life working in them. In our family, we have just added our fourth great grandchild. She is just a little tyke, barely weighs close to 8 pounds. She can do nothing but be cared for by her parents. But what we're anticipating is that she's going to grow. She's going to get longer and bigger and healthier and stronger and be able to be up on those little legs, and they're going to develop, and she's going to become a child living a normal life. So what is our third word? Grace brings to us the great presence of the Lord Jesus, and with it forgiveness, with it the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then that allows us to live a life of gratitude, thanksgiving for the goodness of God. But this whole thing is a process through which we go. We are then able to grow as God would have us to grow. The Apostle Peter, in the second letter that he wrote, and in the third chapter, and he closes that short epistle with these words, chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, and he had described heaven coming, the new heavens and the new earth, and all the blessings that God's going to give, since we're looking for these things, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in His sight. That is, we enjoy the forgiveness of God. And we account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. God takes the time to develop us fully. Even our brother Paul, beloved as he is, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, and in all his epistles, speaking of these things, some of them are a little bit hard to understand. The ignorant and unsteadfast don't understand them. But you, beloved, now what about this person that has received the grace of God and become a new creature? What about this person that is now in a life of gratitude and thanksgiving to God? Here it comes. You, therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware lest being carried away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. Here is a warning. Oh, we can become Christians. We can become new babes in Christ. But you have seen a toddler try to walk, and how many times they tumble and take a fall because they're not yet balanced and able to walk. They've not grown to the point of maturity. So it is with our Christian faith. Oh, we receive the grace. We are indeed new creatures. We indeed have much reason to be thankful. But we begin as babes in Christ. And what happens? We want to first of all accept the warning that we don't allow error to cause us to fall away from that steadfastness. But then listen to the 18th verse of 2 Peter chapter 3. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. What are we to do? What is our goal? We want to grow, even as we expect a child in the normal processes of life to grow, to change, to become mature. And so as Christians, we want to grow to understand grace, to have more grace in our lives, not only for our benefit, but to change with cheer and with other people. And we grow in our knowledge of the Lord. The better you know Jesus, there's a song that says, the more we know Him, the more we love Him. And so it is expected to be. We are to grow. And who gets the glory? To Him, the Lord Jesus, there is the glory. If you're a Christian hearing this message this morning, are you growing in the faith? How about how you are conquering sin and dealing with difficulties in your life? Oh, if we have grown, we are winning the victory over sin, over our selfishness, over the devil, and over the world. And so there is the need for growth, the direction we grow in, and being aware of wickedness. A mature person can better deal with wickedness and error. The need, then, for growth, within the nature of growth, to grow in grace and in knowledge. Oh, what a mystery this spiritual truth is. We leave past behind. We set aside those things that are evil, and we put those things behind us, and we grow in the nature and admonition of the Lord. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians gives us our fourth word. And so I've been introduced to Jesus. I received His grace. I've become a child of God. I have a life now of gratitude and thankfulness, and I'm in a growth process. I'm growing. Look at the end result in Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What has He done? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love, and has foreordained us unto adoptions as Son through Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And here it comes now. Here is our word grace, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. We begin with grace, and we end with glory. Grace is our platform. It's where we stand. It's what we receive when Christ becomes a part of us by a faith response that says, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I want Him to be my Savior and Lord. I want to die to self, and being dead to sin now, I want to be buried with Him in baptism and raised to walk this new life of gratitude in which I will be able to grow. Grace, the platform where we stand. Gratitude, our response to that grace, which brings with it a sense of responsibility. And then my lifestyle, I want to do all to the glory of God. Growth is our purpose, our posture. We're moving in the very motion of moving to spiritual maturity. And the purpose of that is the glory of God, not for ourselves, not for our church, not for anyone or anything else, but for Jesus alone. I find it interesting that Paul concludes in this chapter, verse 6, he refers to that glory as we saw it a moment ago. And then verse 12, to the end that we should be the praise of His glory, we who had hoped before in Christ. And one more time, verse 14, the Spirit is an earnest, a down payment of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession. For what purpose? Unto the praise of His glory. What good news! In the third chapter, then, as we close this message this morning, the Apostle concludes in verses 20 and 21 of this book of Ephesians chapter 3 with these words, now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundant above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. He is the sufficiency. We would see Jesus, the songwriter says, and we want the presence of Christ in our lives. My friends, if we can help you learn, if we can help you make a commitment to Jesus, write to us. The announcer will give you that information. God bless you for tuning in today.
sins to thee. The sins I cannot count, that all may cleansed be in thy once open fount. I bring them, Savior, all to thee. The burden is too great for me. The burden is too great for me. I bring my grief to thee, the grief I cannot tell. No words shall need it be, thou knowest all so well. I bring the sorrow laid on me, O suffering Savior, all to thee. O suffering Savior, all to thee. My life I bring to thee, I would not be my own. O Savior, let me be thine ever, thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to thee, my Savior and my King. To thee, my Savior and my King.
We pray that you have been blessed by the words of the message today and that you look forward to being in the presence of Jesus. If you are not yet a Christian, we encourage you to give serious consideration to following Jesus in belief that leads to obedience. We are encouraged to hear from you, and we want to hear from you soon. To receive a free CD of this program, please request broadcast number 1837. That's 1837. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. You can also listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want to by logging on to wordsofliferadio.com and selecting the broadcast that you want to hear. Our newsletter is also available online. On behalf of Words of Life, this is Wayne Hobbs thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time for another program from Words of Life.